Welcome, everybody, to a Now on the Clock podcast. I'm your host, Nate Stockwell, and I appreciate you joining us for this exciting new episode. But first, we are excited to announce our newest partnership with Thrive Fantasy Sports, the leading fantasy app for daily player props. Thrive Fantasy Sports covers NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, PGA, and esports. Sign up today with promo code NOTC. That's promo code NOTC. And receive a $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20. Download app today. Don't just be a fan, be a player. All right, we got a great episode today. I'm excited. I'm excited for what we're going to bring to you today. I'd like to welcome co-host Paulie Mack in Florida and Johnny G in California. All right, guys, let's get it.
Paul, how are things going out there in Florida today?
Pretty good, pretty good. What have you been up to?
Hiking.
Hiking?
Air squats. I'm doing the prison workout. I'm on the prison. I got some big goals, man. Max Cady style. I'm ready.
So, there's no sports to watch. Even with the NBA, I can't even watch that.
Baseball's not a sport to you? What do you mean, baseball? No sport.
I turned on ESPN, and it's unwatchable now. It's either two people going, just taking opposite sides, or the anchors trying to be somehow popular and make all these little – catchphrases, because that's what some people did back in the day. It's basically unwatchable. So I've been watching not a lot of Netflix and surfing the internet. I'm looking for crazy stories. Came across this story of a pizza. Everybody's getting stuff, food delivered, right? You know, what are the places that deliver now? Uber Eats,
DoorDash, Uber Eats.
Yeah. So I come across this crazy story of a 22-year-old pizza delivery man who got arrested this week for pleasuring himself in his car. So basically, he got arrested for masturbating in his car. And this is what I've been reduced
to. Wait, that's illegal? I didn't know that.
Okay, well, it's a good thing that you said that, because the only reason that they busted him is he was in the back of the police car with his girlfriend, and they caught him on video telling his girlfriend that he didn't think masturbating in his car was illegal. Quote, unquote. You believe that?
Okay, wait a second. So masturbating in your car is illegal. That's what we're saying? Yeah. Is it or is? Certain states?
Yeah. Okay. Well, apparently it is. So, you know, like, I think he had to deliver a pizza and decide, you know, and everybody's worried about the spread of COVID. I would be worried about the spread of other things with DoorDash and all these people delivering your food. My gosh, we got pizza delivery guys doing this? I think you should worry about other things than COVID.
So I guess it's true. We need sports. America needs sports. We need sports to get our mind off these other stories.
Now,
what are you smoking today?
La Barbara.
La Barbara Johnson?
No. La Barbara. Red Label. Very good. Very good.
All right. Nice. Hey, your background looks great. Florida looks awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Johnny G, Mr. California. How you doing?
What's going on, Nate? I got to ask Paul a question. Last week he comes on this show talking about woodworking. This week he's coming on talking about masturbating in police cars. Yes. Where's your head at, Maxine?
I told you, this whole crazy COVID thing. I go outside, people are crazy wearing masks like they're in some kind of cult. And I got to stay inside and keep myself busy. And then when I am, you know, like, what is there to watch? It used to be NFL Network, ESPN, Fox News, sports. You know, you can't watch anything now. It's unwatchable. You go on to ESPN, it's all everybody's trying to be woke nowadays and talk to social justice and stuff. I want to talk sports.
That's what we got. We talk sports here. We talk sports. We got them covered. Let's get it. Johnny G, what's happening over there? Tell us California. Give us some California love.
Spoken like a true white guy. Let's just talk sports. I don't want to talk about anything else.
Hey, John, shut up and dribble. John, shut up and dribble.
Got some California love for you, Nate, and it's an awesome food tip for all our Bay Area listeners out there. So last week, my wife and I were in downtown San Jose. We're in San Jose visiting her mom. And we went to downtown San Jose, and we were looking for something to eat. And we came across the shop by Chef Baca. We decided to try it. And if I told you my wife and I enjoyed it, that would not be doing this place justice. The shop by Chef Baca is amazing. We got the shop pastrami sandwich. It has house-made, cured, and smoked pastrami, caramelized onions, homemade pickles, provolone, maple aioli slaw, and to top it off, Chef Baca puts his own homemade pineapple molasses mustard on the sandwich which just made it for me. My wife loved it. I loved it so much, I got another one to go. It's freaking insane. Definitely going back. So if you guys are in downtown San Jose, or even if you're not, this place is worth the trip. Hormone-free, all-natural menu, the shop by Chef Baca in downtown San Jose in San Pedro Square. Mention you listen to Now on the Clock podcast and receive a free soda with your purchase on any sandwich or entree. Do yourself a favor and check it out, guys. All right.
What's up, Johnny G? Cool. Give us some California take.
Oh, it's out here at the house sitting at my mother's in beautiful Antioch, California. Have my granddaughters out here in the hot tub. They're having a good time and just ready to do this show. That's about it. Let's get into this.
Exciting show.
All right, let's jump right in. We got some big news in the NFL. Let's talk NFL first. We got some opt-outs. We got some players that do not want to play this upcoming season. They're opting out of their current contract. Paulie Mack, touch on this.
Yeah. So there are two types of opt-out from what we've learned. There's the voluntary and the involuntary. So the voluntary is when a player elects to miss the season voluntarily, and they pay him $150,000 stipend. Okay, and a high-risk player, which is a second category, that's somebody that has a specific medical condition like diabetes, asthma, and so on, is paid $350,000 stipend. But in both cases, these are not like the government's giving you a check type stuff. These are advances on their salary that will come from the following year. So they're basically taking a loan on their salary for next year. They're not getting any free money. They're just like getting a prorated portion of their salary next year. So there's nothing else to this. They're not, hey, we'll give you $150,000 for setting out or $350,000. It's coming off of next year's salary.
So this is only players that are under contract. If you don't have a contract for the 2021 season, you cannot opt out and be siphoned from your next year's salary.
Correct.
Okay, what happens if your contract ends? If you're on a one-year deal, is the league, is the union providing some coverage for that?
That contract tolls to the next year. So if you're on a one-year deal for the 2020 season, okay, that contract tolls as a one-year deal for next season.
How about so?
And you also do not you don't lose a year of eligibility by doing.
So you don't lose it. You don't lose a year of eligibility. That's critical.
Well, to become a free agent, if you opt out of the high risk, high risk. If you're voluntary, like in Damian Williams' case, okay, he would have been a free agent in 2021, okay, and now his contract is pushed to the next year. Now he won't be a free agent until 2022.
Do you guys think we may see some players using this as a negotiation ploy, maybe to redo a deal? They'll tell their team they'll opt out if they can't come to terms?
Oh, without a doubt. There's already been talk that Kittle from the 49ers might hold out, use this as a ploy to get a better contract.
Okay, really? Dickhead. He already stated
Whoa.
I mean, you're just trying to piss me off right off the bat. He already stated a couple of weeks ago that wasn't going to happen.
Are you Kittle's agent?
I'm just telling you. Call Tesla Sports and ask them, all right?
Hey, I just read an article.
Don't start rumors that aren't there.
Calm down. So, but, you know, we see players may leverage this. I love the passion. But, look. Players could leverage this, right, to renegotiate with their teams. That's a good take, Paulie, because I could see players doing that. And Kittle's contract is probably the most critical one of the offseason. I mean, he may be the cog that makes San Francisco's offense work, but what you're hearing, Johnny G, is you're hearing that he has some sort of deal in the works?
Look, no, I'm not hearing that. I'm hearing that they're actually disconnected right now on contract talks.
Okay.
But they asked him a couple of weeks ago about a holdout. And he simply responded by saying he is a leader and he's looking forward to the season. So I take that as he's not going to be holding out. They're going to get this deal done before the season starts. The Niners aren't dumb.
Right, we're not talking about Kittle's contract. We're talking about opt-outs.
That's a non-issue. He's not opting out, okay?
Okay, cool. I did look at the list, right, and there's a lot of – it looks like the list is dominated by offensive linemen. Would you guys say that's true? And why is that?
Probably because they're more high risk because they're so fat compared to the other guys in the league. You know, I'm sure a bunch of them are diabetics at this point.
Offensive linemen and defensive linemen. But, you know, like the bigger question goes, a lot of these teams have made moves or signed free agent. In particular, the Vikings signed a defensive lineman from the Ravens, Pierce, and he opted out for the season. He got his signing bonus. He made a bunch of money in his signing bonus, Michael Pierce, and he got a fat contract. And they were counting on him to be a cog in the middle. So, you know, look at that guy in particular in the New England Patriots. They're missing Dante Hightower, starter. Patrick Chung, starter. Marcus Cannon, right tackle, starter. Brandon Bolden, starter. So, you know, how does this affect the teams and their ability to fill out a roster when key positions are opting out?
Well, to your point, Paul, speaking specifically about the Patriots, have you looked at who's backing these guys up? I mean, Shalik Calhoun is Dante Hightower's backup. Adrian Phillips will be starting in place of Patrick Chung. We're talking about the number one defense in the NFL last year, losing two guys that have been around and been leaders on that defense for quite some time now in Chung and Dante Hightower. And their backups don't instill a lot of confidence. And I've looked at their backups, and the Patriots are a collection of undrafted free agents and low round picks. So I think it's going to looking at the players opting out so far, Marquise Lee opted out this morning. So there's a wide receiver that they signed in the offseason off the board. They're getting hit hard by the COVID opt outs. And I think it's going to affect them more than these other teams. Even the Chiefs, who lost their starting offensive lineman and running back, they have more than enough talent to make up for those guys. The Patriots, I'm not so sure, especially with Newton at quarterback.
Do the Patriots have the most opt-outs out of all the NFL franchises?
Oh, of course, yeah. It's like triple the next team.
Does that have to do anything with the Brady effect, possibly? They maybe want to take a season off and regroup?
I think it has to do with the Belichick effect. I think think about it. Think about Brady. Brady has won how many Super Bowls? Six. And he wants to leave the Patriots. And Gronk retires. He doesn't want to come back to the Patriots. He wants to come back to the Buccaneers. I mean, there's a reason these guys do not want to play with Belichick.
I think Belichick has spearheaded this, and it's a conspiracy to draft Trevor Lawrence.
That means they'd have to finish with the worst record overall.
You're the one who hates Cam Newton. You think it's possible, right? If Cam Newton
started before, he's not even going to start.
Well, hey, I think worst case scenario, no matter how many opt-outs of that coaching staff, the Patriots win at least six games.
Yeah, exactly. So let me ask you a question. These opt-outs, do you see – I can care less what Belichick or any coach says. You're pissed that Dante Hightower, Chung, whoever is on your team is opting out when it's not because of a medical condition they have. So what are your plans as an organization when key players opt out, maybe some towards the end of the career? I mean, Chung is getting old. Hightower's getting old. Do you see retaliation for some of these guys that kind of put the franchise on the back burner for a season?
Yes. Yes. Look, you got a little – I mean, the Patriots' window's been – I mean, they're an outlier, right? Their window has been – it hasn't been a window. It's been a – they've had a great run. Most teams' windows are short, right? You miss out on losing players. Players start opting out. That really derails what you're trying to do as an organization. I do think – guys will get cut. Guys will get cut over this. Guys will not get long-term deals. Teams will. Hey, owners always do. They retaliate. Owners remember.
Yeah, they do.
Owners remember. See, I can see it happening, but I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick opts out. He may opt out this season. He may take a year off. He's high risk. He may let Josh McDaniels handle it for a season, see what happens.
Being a Steelers fan, I thought for sure James Conner would opt out, but he's going all in, and I appreciate that. But there are some people that, you know, like really got serious concerns, and I'm for that. But isn't it great to be in such a financial position where you don't have to work? Like, like a good portion of this country is not working, and they would beg to work, and you're so rich that you can just say, screw it, I'm not going to work. How do you think that's coming across to the average fan?
Well, I mean, when you look at fans of other other sports. You look, I mean, baseball. Baseball has an opt out, right? Baseball had an opt out option for the players. What about the NBA?
They also have an opt out for the players. Okay.
Now, I don't think we've seen the number that like we've seen in football, have we?
No, and football really, a lot of these guys really jumped on the opt-out bandwagon when they saw what was happening with Major League Baseball and the Florida Marlins this last week, and then you got the Yankees. Games have been canceled. Phillies have been infected. Just a lot of the Cardinals now canceled games. I think it was 15 or 19 total canceled games so far. It's becoming a mess in baseball. Football's looking at that. They're wondering how they're going to be able to do it because the NBA is staying in one place, right? Football and baseball, they're still traveling. Why? I don't know. They've got spring training complexes in Arizona and Florida. There was no reason for this.
John, we know for sure from last week's show that the NBA is not staying in one place. The location might be in one place, but the players are leaving the bubble in droves.
You're in a bubble, Paul. You're in a bubble. Look at Paul's bubble. He got a bubble behind him. All right, well, one thing we talked about, Johnny, you talked about this earlier, and one thing about, you know, you're right, these linemen, the NFL linemen, they're not in the best shape, right? They carry a lot of extra mass, right? A lot of them, when they retire, they drop down to a normal BMI after that of the game. So whatever they're eating, whatever their diet is during the season, there's a lot of stress on their bodies. And if we look at the list, we're seeing a lot of guys over 300. These are the guys opting out. And they probably should take a little more seriously than, you know, your basketball player, your baseball player, your normal body mass index type of athlete. So yeah, I do understand where they're coming from. And I don't want to butcher the guy's name, but the offensive lineman for the Chiefs, that's also, I believe, he's a doctor, right?
Yeah,
Lauren Devaney Tardif, is that right? Yeah, he opted out, and he's a guy that we would assume probably has a pretty good background and take on the medical aspect. It is an assumption because all doctors don't.
He graduated medical school. He's not an actual doctor yet,
He graduated medical school, so his take might be, and he thinks in his best interest to sit out this season to see what happens in the NFL. Now you brought up a point, Paul. Does this affect KC? They got a couple guys opting out. We do believe it's going to affect the Patriots. These opt-outs affect Kansas City and their hopes of reigning as NFL champion?
Well, before I go into that, there are 21 opt-outs that are offensive or defensive linemen, and 9 of those are defensive linemen. So it's almost pretty even across the board. But your question was, how does this affect Kansas City?
Yes.
I just said think it affects it in depth because the only person opting out of Kansas City their offensive lineman is Damian Williams, and he was basically the Super Bowl hero. So they backfilled that position with the number one draft pick this offseason. So I think the only thing that affects them is depth. They still have Patrick Mahomes. They still have Tariq Hill. They got a young wide receiver. They got the number one tight end in the NFL, Kelsey. They're loaded.
All right, well, another question for you guys. If you're a bubble guy, maybe a practice squad kind of player, you know, you're a lineman, you get a call to work for an NFL franchise this offseason, would you guys take that offer? You sit out a year?
I would. I would put my family at risk if I could play in the NFL.
The thing that I don't understand, so I'm gonna take this defensive tackle Pierce from the Ravens, or previously from the Ravens, now signed with the Vikings because he hates the Ravens organization. But you just signed for like $30 million signing bonus or whatever crazy money it is. If you're worried about your family getting infected with the coronavirus, why don't you put yourself up in a hotel and follow through with the commitment? You can afford it for 3 months of the year. You can't do that? These guys can't do that?
I would.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. You made a commitment. I mean, look, this is your livelihood. You made a commitment, not just to your teammates, but to the organization. I would like to see you fulfill that. But, hey, owners will remember. We do know that. You don't do it, you will be remembered.
That's why I'm wondering with some of these guys, maybe it's not so much coronavirus, but I think some of these guys are, and not even the money, but they're in love with the lifestyle of the NFL, and they're seeing what's going on with these other sports, how they have to be quarantined by themselves during the season. They can't talk to anybody but themselves. They're not supposed to go to strip clubs and get wings. But I think some of them, not all of them, I think a lot of them have genuine fears about what could possibly happen if they infected, if they brought this home and were infected with their families or themselves, if any of them happen to be high risk. So I get that. But I also think some of them might be in love with the lifestyle. And that lifestyle, I don't think is going to be there this year quite like has in the last few years. I don't know if that's a consideration, but in my opinion, I think it is.
Well, I think in the NFL, these players, they get a false sense of security, like their job is somehow secure, and then they're surprised when they get cut. The NFL is a young man's game. They're constantly bringing in draft picks and celebrating, giving those draft picks chances. So they're constantly trying to bring in younger, better, faster, talented players because, cheaper. They don't want to get to that second contract unless you're a real playmaker. So when you look at some of these guys that decide that they're not going to play, well, guess what? Especially if you're around the age of 30 or you're on the margin or you're not, you're a starter, but you know, you don't have a long-term deal or any guaranteed money. Guess what? If they can't count on you as a team to show up, you basically said you can't count on me and they'll find somebody next year.
Yeah. I'd be worried if I'm one of these vets that sits out and say this dies down and fans are back in the stands next year and they got this under control because they find a vaccine by the end of the year. I'd be worried about my job coming back next year.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. Look, all employers, we've all been managers. We remember, we know who we could count on, and we remember those we couldn't count on, right? And the ones that can't be counted on, they don't really get the second, third opportunity. They don't get, no one's going on a limb for them, right? You make a commitment to something, your boss, your owner wants you to get it done. That's a cool take. That's a good take. Anything else on this one? We ready to put this one to rest?
Well, I will say this about Dante Hightower's contract. So he's 30, will be 31 next year, okay? His contract has a base salary of, let's see here, $7 million and $8 million. So, or I'm sorry, it got pushed to 21. So next year he'll have a base salary of $8 million being 31 years old. What are the chances the Patriots keep him or cut him?
Gone.
They're going to cut his ass.
He's gone.
Yeah, they are.
He's gone. He's gone. All right, good take. Good take, guys. Hey, some other great NFL news we have this week. NFL released their top 100 list. Always one of my favorite lists, voted on by the players.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any front office votes or just players only on this one?
Players only, as far as I know.
That was like Paul's crew in high school, players only. That's what they were called.
Players only, players only.
This is voted on by the players only. It's a great list. So real quick, I'm going to go over the last 5 years of rankings, who was number one. Then we'll jump right in and talk about these lists.
All right.
We'll go this year. This year, the number one ranked player, Lamar Jackson. Cool. 2019, we had Aaron Donald. 2018, Tom Brady. 2017, Tom Brady.
All right, stop right
2016,
there.
2016, Paul's boy, Cam Newton. 2015, J.J. Watt. All right, let's jump right in.
All right.
What's your take on these lists, Johnny G?
Well, my take is I don't know how this could be a real list, and you ask the real players, and Patrick Mahomes isn't number one. Secondly, I don't know how George Kittle isn't number two because he is the best player in the league that's not a quarterback.
John. Give us your most overrated and underrated player. Go ahead. Start with I take it it's Kittle's?
Kittle is my most underrated at number seven, and my most overrated is Todd Gurley coming in at 51.
How could you put him at underrated when he's number seven? He's not even the best tight end in the league.
Are you high right now? What is in that cigar?
Dude.
George Kittle set the record for receiving yards last year or the year before last, and this year played on a broken ankle in 14 games, caught over 85 balls, 1,053 yards, 5 touchdowns, and led his team to the Super Bowl. He's the second best player in the NFL. When he's out of the lineup, they rush for less yards, throw for less yards. When he's in the lineup, he's a major impact, makes everybody around him better. He's a physical freak. And don't give me Todd Kelsey's – is that his name? Todd Kelsey? Jason Kelsey?
Way better.
Don't give me Kelsey's name. Kelsey isn't half the blocker Kittle is. Kittle could be your right or left tackle. He plays three different positions.
When you talk about – you're saying number two player in the NFL. When you talk about that, you're talking about impact player, Hall of Famer – could be an all-time NFL team. You're like putting them up there. I'm going to read you some stats. 3 receptions, 16 yards, first playoff game. Second playoff game, 1 reception, 19 yards. Super Bowl, 4 receptions, 36 yards. That's not the number 2 player in the league.
Okay, well, if you go back, first of all, if you go back and watch the All-22 of the Super Bowl, he's open all game. Why Jimmy G doesn't throw him the ball, I don't know. But he was open all game, okay? And you want to talk about the first 2 playoff games, well, they run 30, 40 times and throw the ball. Don't give me those stats of the first the playoff game. They blew out the Vikings. They blew out the Packers. They didn't even need Kittle to do anything.
But, John, how can you talk about how great his stats are, but when I give you stats, it's Jimmy G's fault. But when he had great stats during the season, it's all him.
Because that's my effing prerogative. That's why.
Okay, let me ask you this, though, because money talks. All right, so you're saying Kittle is the – where would you put him on this list?
The second best player in the league.
Over Aaron Donald?
Mahomes.
Over Aaron Donald?
Kittle plays 3 different positions.
So you're saying with your logic, he should be the second highest paid player in the NFL? You would as the owner. I would shell out.
Yes, I would give him $20 million a year.
Nate, I think we just gained some 49ers fans and lost the rest of the league.
Well, what I do know is but $20 million doesn't put him in the – I didn't put him in the – that's not even the top 5%. So you're saying he should be getting paid $30 million a year.
I mean, no, I said $20 million, $11 million, the highest paid tight end, $11 million, right?
No, we're not talking about the highest rated tight end. You say he's the second best player in the NFL.
He's the second best player. As such. He plays 3 different positions. Oh, he should make $20 million a year.
He plays tight end.
He's also a tackle. He's also a tight. He blocks like a tackle, and he also okay. I can't see.
That's fair.
This is from the guy who's a Vance McDonald fan. Come on, I don't expect you to have a clue, so don't worry about it.
Hey, you should love Vance McDonald. He's a former 49er.
All right. So look, Kittle underrated. 7
Kittle underrated.
Second highest paid ball catcher on the list. But
let me just say this. I don't think one of our listeners would agree with John right now, John's take, at all. Sorry, John.
Well, I would love to hear from them, because an unbiased listener would agree with my take. But you two have Niner bias. Especially Nate, because my team kicked his team's ass throughout the entire 80s and 90s. So he's still frustrated about that, about his youth and having it ruined by the 49ers. And you, Paul, you're so jealous because of the 70 Steelers dynasty. They lost their shine because of the 80s and 90s dynasty of the Niners. So don't give me this crap about how Kittle isn't the second best player in the NFL when everybody knows that he is.
Hey, you know, a tight end that had a better season than Kittle last year, Darren Waller of the Raiders.
Did he play on a broken ankle?
Here we are with this broken ankle.
All right. So that means Jack Young was the best defensive lineman ever. With a broken leg. That's irrelevant. Let's talk about your number 2, though. I love your passion for Kittle. I'm going to call you Johnny Kittle. Kittle from here on.
Look, from Kittle, I go to my most overrated, which is Todd Gurley at number 51. Let me just read this list to you, okay? And please explain to me who filled out this list. Were they drunk? Were they not in their right mind? Because I don't freaking get it. Because Todd Gurley had 223 carries last year, 857 yards. He averaged 3.8 a carry. The reason that he's in the top 100 is because he had 14 touchdowns. I get that. But you're talking about a guy who was outrushed by David Montgomery. Is David Montgomery in the top 50? I don't think so. Carlos Hyde? Is Carlos Hyde in the top 50? I don't think so. Le'Veon Bell, who ran for 3.2 a carry. Sony Michel, Marlon Mack, Leonard Fournette, and Joe Mixon. All those guys ran for more yards. They were all more effective than Todd Gurley. Nate, you can speak to this better than me. You were a Ram fan. You watched him last year. Todd Gurley shouldn't even be in the top 100 this year.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. And looking at the list, what I see here, it looked like it takes a while for a guy to fall off. Like players, they may blend last year with the current year. I think in their mindset, it's hard just to have someone fall that rapidly off the list. I'm sure Todd Gurley was probably top 25, top 30. 2 years ago, right? Oh, okay. And looking at our list, there's some guys on here I'm surprised made it as high as they did. Well, so I really think with the NFL Brotherhood, if they remember a guy 2 years ago that was elite and they know that maybe he has some injury concerns, they don't drop him like a rock like they should. But Todd Gurley, look, he lacks explosion.
Nate.
Yes.
Todd Gurley was ranked number five.
Yeah, so he may be the biggest faller on the list, right?
46 spots.
But look, I'm a fan of Todd Gurley. And I don't like saying this, but next year he's not on the list.
He better not be.
Guy that was, huh?
Leonard Fournette ran for almost 300 more yards than Todd Gurley and didn't even make the top 100.
What's sad is he didn't pass 1,000 yards. He didn't have one game over 100. It was pretty bad. So, yeah, I think he basically got on this list off of reputation, not performance.
Yeah, I agree. And, I wish him the best. I hope he could salvage a few more years out of that knee. But, you know, he's just a guy now. He's just a guy. He's still powerful, but he doesn't have that explosion that made him special, that put him on the top five of the list. And, you know, injuries take their toll, man. We already know. That's why you don't – running backs, right? You give them those long-term deals. It's a crap shot. And it's just too bad how that all shaped out for him. But, yeah, I agree with that, John. I agree with that take.
Yeah, I agree too. Except for the Kittle, I agree with the Gurley take.
And let me touch on mine, because we're going to talk about reputations. My overrated player on this list, and I watched him quite a bit last year, but I got Tom Brady.
Yes.
Tom Brady, what's he ranked, 14 on this list? I don't think he's the 14th best, one of the top 14 players in today's NFL. I mean, you guys watched him play a lot last year. We had touched on this, John. He didn't look very good.
No, he looked horrible. And everybody, you know, people, the thing about Brady is people always talk about Brady being the best and, well, he's never had anybody to throw to. He's never had a supporting cast. I don't know what you're looking at because he's had Corey Dillon, Rob Gronkowski, Edelman, he's had
Aaron Hernandez. He's had a lot of weapons.
Hernandez was a serious weapon, right?
Yeah, so Nick, don't be saying Aaron Hernandez and weapon in the same sentence.
But last year he has a down year. The Patriots are bounced in the first round against Tennessee, right? But everybody makes excuses for him last year. Keneal Harry's a rookie. He doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to. They've been a run-based offensive attack the last couple of years. I don't know why he gets a pass like he does. I mean, how many legitimate Super Bowls has he won is my question.
Well, that's a good take. I like that take. But one thing, too, like a lot of times we could blame a quarterback's performance on their offensive line. You know, Brady still was pretty well protected last year. Their offensive line, mainly because they get away with a lot of holds, but he was very well protected. He didn't get sacked a lot, and he still wasn't delivering, you know, he wasn't delivering like he did in the past. I mean, how old is he going to be? Is he
43, 44,
right? I mean, skill, I don't care what supplements he's on, that TB12 supplements, your skills start to erode in your 40s. You're not as sharp as you were in your 20s and 30s. That's just a fact of life. And I believe Father Time has caught up with him. And I think he's going to be proven this year in Tampa Bay.
I'm here to back you up with a few names that Brady was ranked ahead of. Nick Bosa, Travis Kelce, Khalil Mack, Ezekiel Elliott, T.J. Watt, and Tariq Hill.
Paul, all you need to do is stop after that first name. That said it all right there. This is a complete crap list. It's a complete crap list, okay? Tom Brady's not better than any of those players or what. This is supposed to be based off of last year, right? These aren't career ratings, right? It's supposed to be based off of the previous year performance. Brady shouldn't even be on the top 100. Him and Gurley should be. Let's get them off because they don't belong here anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand the nostalgia for Tom Brady, but with Gurley, when we talk about just production, Gurley off the list.
Well, you got a guy like Cooper Kupp who was 89. He had over 1,100 yards receiving last year. I mean, that guy's a player. He was better than Gurley. He's better than Brady.
Let's talk about this. My underrated player, enough of Brady. We know Brady's on the decline. We'll see. I mean, I think he's going to be – is he going to make the list next year? That's the million-dollar question. Is he on the list? Is he plus or minus where he is now?
Well, remember one of our first podcasts, we went through every game of Tampa Bay, and John had him going 13-3. So if you're 13-3 and you're Tom Brady, I don't care what your stats are, you're on the list.
Well,
you're right. They're 13-3.
They're 13-3 based off of the players around him. They're going to help out Brady this year. They'll be 13. They may be 13-3, 10-6, 11-5. I don't care. He's not going to be on the. If he's on this list next year, it's going to be due to his supporting cast, which they do have some serious skill position players on that team.
They do. But I seen Brady throwing a lot of balls behind guys that were considered great route runners last year, right?
That's the receiver's fault.
Behind them, and it's like the receiver's fault. He's yelling. They've been throwing to those guys for the last 5 years. I don't get it.
All right, who's your underrated guy, Nate?
I got Tyreek Hill. I think, look, if I'm building a team right now, if I need a receiver, he's my favorite weapon in the NFL.
What's he ranked?
22nd. 22nd overall.
Gotcha.
I think he's possibly a top 10 player in the league. I mean, he's
– Wait. You just said possibly. Is he? Or is he possibly?
He is.
He's underrated.
He is dynamic.
I think the top 10 player, and I think he's the best receiver in the league. Because he can score from anywhere on the field. You got to account for him at all places. He can take the top off of defense. You truly, like, we got all these receivers we give all this love to that are just precise route runners that are kind of dependable security blankets. Man, come on, we can find guys like that. We can get guys like that on a team. We can get Cooper Kupps. We can find guys that they can stay healthy, that can build rapport with the quarterback. But it's hard to find a guy that can take a top off of defense, that can take a hitch and go 80 yards. He's a special player on a special team. I think Tyreek Hill is underrated, one of the premier players.
He had the biggest play in the Super Bowl, right? I mean, he caught the biggest ball in the Super Bowl. He's one of the reasons why they won.
Nate.
He is dynamic and explosive, and I agree with you, Nate. I think he's one of the best in the NFL, way too low on this list.
If I was building a team for my receiver, he'd be – I mean, I'm not talking fantasy-wise, right? I'm talking about the impact and how you got to account for him as a defense. I would take him number one.
Nate, both you and I have been following the draft since we were like little kids, getting up at 5:30 in the morning watching the draft. Now we watch a combine. And every year, somebody wows us with their speed, a receiver, and then they slide in the draft, and they slide because they can't catch the damn ball. How many great receivers were actually like burners? Like, you know, they smoke the combine, and then some team draft them. Who's the guy that Cincinnati took that can't stay healthy?
Ross? Washington.
Ross.
Yeah, and oh, my gosh, he ran a 4.21. Nick. He can't get on the field. He can't catch the ball. He can't get open. It's
Darius
just
Hayward Bay.
It's very rare where you can get a wide receiver that has elite speed. Not he's fast. He's elite and can catch the ball. And I agree with you. Tyreek Hill is one of those game changers.
Well, and he's in a perfect situation with Andy Reid. Andy Reid coached DeSean Jackson, used him perfectly there. And I think Tyreek Hill is way better than DeSean Jackson.
Well, he's stronger, right? His base is stronger, right? So he can break a little more tackle. He adds a different element. But you're right, Paul. One thing that affects these speed receivers, the kickoff return game. When we were younger, you could get a speedster, right, develop him a little bit, and he can make an impact on kick returns. That don't happen anymore. Is there any kick return? Why do you even kick the ball off anymore?
Dante Hall would be really disappointed.
Because it's exciting when they do take it to the house. You could argue it's one of the most exciting plays after a team scores, and then you just put it right back down on their throats.
All right, that was fun. Or you come out of halftime, you're down by two scores. You take the opening kickoff at halftime for a touchdown, or you get home late for the game. You turn it on, you're already down 7-0 because the guy took the opening kickoff back. Yeah, that was a great play. That was a great play when we were young. It was special. All right, Paul, Paulie Mack.
You want my list? All right. So my most overrated player, and I'll get into why he's overrated here in a second, is DK Metcalf. He comes in the list at 81. And he had a good rookie season. He's a wide receiver for the Seahawks. But he comes in at 81. And I think it's based off of – I mean, he didn't do anything outstanding his rookie season. He had about 58 catches and 800-900 yards. But he had that game in the playoffs, which everybody saw, and it was 100 and I think 80 yards. He broke the record.
160.
He broke the record, and I actually think he got voted in based off of that game because everybody and their brother's watching the playoff games, right? So do you think he's on this list because of potential? He was hyped up during the draft plus his performance in the playoff game, or does he necessarily deserve 81? By the way, he's ahead of Eric Kendricks, first-team All-Pro middle linebacker, and Cooper Kupp.
I think absolutely he's a little too high, but let's not, you know, he's a stud.
I think he'll be great.
Awesome. But I agree with you. Shouldn't be on the list this early, and I think a lot had to do with that playoff game. He finished strong last year. It really adds an element to Seattle's offense that they've been missing with the size at the receiver position. You got Lockett on the other side. They make a great tandem. Next year, yes, as long as he stays healthy and produces. Last year, I don't see it. 900 yards receiving. Come on.
Well, one thing is, look, I love the kid's story, right? I know coming out, I think it was Ole Miss, right? He was a super – I mean, we thought he'd be like maybe a top 10 pick, right? I mean, his measurables were off the charts, and he was really hyped up. And a lot of this list, right, a lot of it has to do with pedigree, right? When someone has a pedigree, they're a little higher. Like, when you see rookies on the list, you don't see unheralded rookies make that list. It's always guys with a high pedigree. And Metcalf had a high pedigree. And he slipped in the draft for some odd reason, right? does anyone know off the top of their head when he went? Late first round. It's okay. Late first round.
I don't think he went late first round.
He was second round pick, I thought.
Is he second round pick? Let me look him up here.
Yeah, I know. I think he was a second. Look him up real quick. But coming out, right, his measurables, his height, weight, his ratios were great, elite. And I remember the start of the draft process, people thought he was a top 10 pick.
64th overall.
Yeah, okay, so 64th overall.
Late second round pick.
Late second round pick, right? So people remember him coming out, right? Every player, every pro, they know these college kids, right? They watch the college game. They have friends playing with them, right? So we see this guy that's ranked high, he slips to the late second round, goes to a perfect situation where he shines. I don't think he should be on the list, but I love his story, and I think he'll be an impact player for years to come for Seattle. But I think as a rookie, 81 is a little bit high for him.
Well, I don't want to get off on a tangent here on talking about the draft and the combine and stuff, but I think he fell victim to what a lot of players do. He was talked about and highly publicized leading into the draft and the combine, and I think it almost happens where you're over-publicized, and then they start nitpicking your weaknesses, and then it kind of causes you maybe to slip a little bit, and I think that's exactly what happened with him. Some people questioning his fluidity, maybe his route running, which kind of caused him to drop a little bit, but he's a physical marvel, man, and he had an awesome rookie year last year. It's not easy to come into the NFL and succeed as a rookie wide receiver, and he did.
Few do, and he has a great quarterback thrown to him. You know, I like how Russell Wilson, when he throws the deep ball, how he has that loft on it, that taller receivers could really high point it. I think he's in a great position to have a very, very good NFL career.
Yeah,
but I do think 81 at this point, this juncture of his career, I think is a little bit overrated, yes.
You know what happens in this draft process, especially like you guys were saying, is he starts believing his own hype. Maybe he starts getting a little big head. Those interviews with one-on-one with the teams, or he's coming across maybe a little cocky or they don't like his attitude, and it causes them to slip, and it happens every year. We see guys slip, and we're like, why did they slip? And then it comes out that they got a little check to their ego because they slipped, and quite honestly, everybody was predicting this guy to go to top 15, and he slipped to the bottom half of the second round, almost a third rounder. So I think he definitely got a check to his ego, and maybe that's what drove him this year.
Yeah, that hunger. Yeah, good to hear. Good take, though. I like that.
All right, my underrated is cornerback Jalen Ramsey from Jacksonville/Los Angeles Rams. He was traded during the season. He comes in at number 37. And the reason I think he's underrated, I think there's two, maybe three defensive players that are definite, like, transitional. They can play in any era. They impact the game every week. Even if it's not in the stats, they have to be accounted for. The team's game planning against them. And I think Jalen Ramsey is that guy. The person that I compare him to is a bigger, stronger, maybe not faster, Deion Sanders. Teams do not throw his way at all. And if you look at Jacksonville's defense, they've had a great defense. And I guarantee you this year, it's not going to be anywhere near it has been in the past because of when you take away one side of the field, as we saw when Deion Sanders played, you basically can cut the offensive playbook in half when you have somebody taking on the best wide receiver. And this guy, he makes some incredible plays. He sticks on wide receivers like glue. As a Steeler fan, he gave Antonio Brown fits, didn't let him get open. He had his roughest games. This guy, top 10, maybe top 5 player.
Well, I understand he's probably a top 5 talker out there too. Is that I heard right. He has a reputation for putting his mouth.
Oh, he likes to talk too.
Say what you want about how he forced his way out of Jacksonville. This is going to be boring because I completely agree with you, Paul. I think you're right. He's way underrated. He's the prototypical cornerback in today's NFL. You want this guy on your team. He's going to shut down one half of the field. He's a matchup nightmare for receivers. I mean, he can cover anybody on the field. He's way too low on this list. Top cornerback like this who can cover in today's NFL. And believe me, I don't put a lot of stock in corners. You know, I'm all about the pass rush. But this guy can cover with or without a pass rush, and he can stay on his man. And I think that kind of value in today's NFL, you just don't see it. He's the number one corner in the NFL, way too low on the list.
And how you have Richard Sherman ahead of him, I have no idea.
Hey, shut up.
Well, one thing, too, you know, when you take a guy out of a couple games, Did Sherman play all 16 last year? I don't really remember. I think he had a pretty healthy season, right?
I believe he missed one game, if I remember.
Okay. And one thing we know, like, you know, Ramsey missed a couple games with the trade, so I know he sat out a few. That usually always impacts someone's overall grade or score or ranking. Another thing that, look, when you win games, you get to the Super Bowl, all your players are better. When you're 6-10, all your players are worse, right? So it's kind of how that works. The more publicity you get, the better season you have as an organization, the higher your grades, the higher your rankings, the higher your perceived value around the league is. So that's pretty cool. It's going to be a great season. I hope we have a season. I hope we have a great season.
Nate, so in my mind, the two defensive players and John who stand out that are transitional, they can play in any era and just impact the game, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey.
I'm sorry. But I thought you said transcendent players. I thought we were talking about a Bosa. I'm sorry.
And Khalil Mack is almost there. I think Bosa, you know, let's see how he plays a little few more years, but I definitely think he's on the cusp. But I think those two, three guys, man, are just they're game changers.
I agree. I love that take, Paul. Another thing is, too, is like the scheme. Some guys can play in any scheme and still be elite, be great. Other guys, they got to be in the right scheme to be elite. And certain guys can fit any scheme and do really well. But back to the Bosa point, man, I think he's going to be elite Hall of Famer if his body can stay, if he stays healthy.
Well, he'll be elite, but it's not going to be with the Niners. I don't know if anybody saw what Joey signed for, but
I think Joey's overrated.
He got I agree. He got a fat deal from the Chargers, though, and I think Nick's going to want to be making more money than him, and the Niners are not going to be able to afford him.
Well, the Niners will probably have a quarterback on a rookie contract during that time.
To hell.
So if they have a quarterback on a rookie contract, yeah, they got plenty to sign. Kittle, Bosa, Fred Warner. Hey, if I'm Lynch, that's what I'm doing.
Hey, you know what I love about the top 100 is just watching the videos and hearing what the other players say about them. They are some of the most entertaining players. It reminds me of like the sports centers back in the day when they used to talk about players and talk about highlights, talk about their attributes. But here you get like 3 minutes one-on-one. They talk to a couple different players and they talk about and they show film and their highlights of why they're so good. It just mesmerizes me.
Like why we fell in love with the NFL draft when they used to show highlights of players.
Yes. Right,
and talk with us. That's what we fell in love with it during those days.
Yeah.
That's great. All right, any more football topic here? You guys want to bounce to our next subject? Anything you want to wrap this up with, John, Johnny G, Paulie Mack?
I want to talk some boxing.
Boxing?
Oh, yeah.
Boxing. Well, shoot, we got it. It might be for all us older guys, but we got a big fight coming up September 12th.
Yeah.
Who's fighting, Johnny G?
September 12th. If you don't know, now you know. Mike Tyson, 54. Roy Jones Jr., 51. Going to be fighting at the Dignity Health Sports Park in Carson, California on September 12th. Mike Tyson stepping back into the ring for the first time since 2005, 2006, I believe. Roy Jones Jr., guys, he's been a lot more active than Tyson over the last 15 years. His last fight was in 2018. I don't know how that's going to affect things. But what I want to kind of take a look at and talk about starting this off here is let's just look at Mike Tyson's career real quick, okay? I mean, if you stop and think about it, and you guys remember him from growing up. I mean, just a ferocious, angry boxer, right? I mean, this guy, by the time he was 13 years old, had been arrested 38 times. His father bounced when he was 2. His mother died when he was 16. And he was discovered by a guy at the Tyron School for Boys by a man named Bobby Stewart, who was also a counselor there and a former boxer. He introduced him to Custom Auto, and the rest was history. Custom Auto took him out of the boys' school, basically took him into his home as a late teen. Custom Auto died in 1985. Well, before I get to that, everybody knows Tyson is a junior Olympic champion, 1982, holds the record for an 8-second knockout in the first round, still a record today. But by 1985, he's fighting pro. Custom Auto passes away in November, and in enters Don King. Don King gets rid of his manager, Kevin Rooney, his trainer, Kevin Rooney, close 1987, 1988, right before the Spinks fight, I believe. And everything was kind of downhill from there. I think everybody knows the Michael Spinks fight was kind of like the pinnacle of Tyson's career. That's where he was considered after that fight to be the true lineal champion and the people's champion. Because up to that point, Spinks was considered the people's champion. And I just remember as a 10-year-old sitting at my dad's, he had a party, where everybody came over to watch the Tyson fight. And I just remember as a 10-year-old sitting there watching Michael Spinks in the locker room. I'd never seen a look of fear in a man's eyes. Like, I didn't know how to describe it before I'd actually seen it. And the guy that was sitting next to me, he makes a comment, says that he's already lost. He's done. And I looked up at the screen and I see these huge white eyes, just massive, right? And you could just see the fear in Spinks' face. And he pretty much said so afterwards, saying that fear was knocking at my door big time today. I mean, Tyson finished him quick in that match. And then everything from
Tyson finished everybody quick.
Yeah. I mean, hey, 26 of his first 28 pro fights ended in a knockout. The guy was amazing. But once Don King got his hooks into him, it kind of went downhill from there, unfortunately. I just wonder how good he could have been.
I think some would argue that was partially Don King. And it wasn't he hanging out with a girl and his mom, and she was all in his business. What was her name again?
Robin Givens. That was
Robin Givens. I think you think about the three of them, Robin Givens, her mom, and the promoter, Don King. I think between the three of them, they basically took it to Tyson, gave him a knockout.
Yeah, they did a couple things
on Tyson. There's very few human beings that are legends from the jump. I mean, when he started fighting professionally, he was legendary. And this is before we really couldn't – boxing was kind of hard to follow, right? You hear about this guy, Mike Tyson. Everyone's talking about him. And if you were 2 minutes late for the fight, you missed it.
Yeah, you missed it.
You missed it. So if you weren't on time early, you missed it. This guy was such an incredible fighter. I mean, it was like when we watched Jordan play, right? Like watching Tyson fight, we witnessed a legend. We witnessed a legend. It was incredible. Incredible. Hold on real quick. He went from being public enemy number one, right? He got some trouble. And now, man, come on. No one wants to see him lose this fight, right? You know, he's done a great – his career arc is incredible, you know, legendary, to public enemy number one. Then to being like, man, he's our hero. We love Tyson.
We love Tyson. Stars in movies, does stand-up comedy now. I mean, the guy's mainstream, right? I mean, he's a comeback story. I mean, what he was convicted of, obviously a horrible crime. I don't want to get into that, but I'm pulling for him. I want to see him knock out Roy Jones Jr. I know the athletic health guy over there in Carson is telling everybody they're not going to be going for knockouts. This is going to be an exhibition of skill. Yeah. I don't know if he's talked to Mike about that.
I think Mike Tyson's skill is knocking someone the fuck out. That's what I think his skill is, right? Well, he's not going to be playing defense.
They're both 50, right?
Tyson's 54, Jones is 51. Yeah.
So we're not really watching this fight to see any real boxing, because they're not going up against elite. That's like, it's all nostalgia with us. Like, if we said that Bird and Magic were going to play one-on-one, we would pay to watch that. But in reality, if they were to go up against today's NBA athletes, they'd get worked. So in reality, we know hopefully people know what this is. It's a bunch of two old guys trying to get a paycheck.
But let's talk about the fight. You're looking at 8 rounds, 3 minutes, 12-ounce gloves. Apparently, Roy wanted 16-ounce gloves and admitted he's going to be 20 to 30 pounds lighter than Tyson.
Roy Jones is going to smoke Tyson. Smoke him. Okay, Roy Jones, he's never given up fighting. John, you mentioned a stat that his last fight was 2018. He never stopped fighting. He's been fighting in like Kazakhstan and all these obscure countries. I looked it up. I had no idea Roy Jones Jr. never really retired. He's been fighting up until 2018. This guy, you know what his training regimen is? He raises roosters. He loves cockfighting, and he chases them around like in the Rocky video. That's what this guy does. His training technique, he never stopped.
Well, Vegas disagrees with you, Paul, because they've installed Tyson as an early minus 350 favorite.
John, you know you bet. You get paid off the favorite. So he's the favorite. That's where the money goes. That's where the money goes.
I don't know. I agree with you. If this fight goes longer than a round or two, Tyson might be in some trouble.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And if you remember Roy Jones Jr., he was one of my favorite fighters growing up. People would get pissed because nobody could touch him. He was just so quick. He'd come in, boom, pop the guy twice, and then move out of the way. I think unless Tyson can somehow work the body and get him in the corner, I don't know if he can even touch this guy.
All right, look, we got September 12th, okay? So you guys think we're going to be entertained or it's going to be a boring old man hug fest in the ring, man? What you guys' take? Entertainment? Are you jumping over that fight or just watch the highlights?
No, there's no way Roy Jones Jr. is a hug fest. There's no way you can get close to Tyson. He is running. He's always that's Roy Jones Jr. MO. He always stays back at a distance and doesn't get hit. So there's no way these guys are hugging. If Roy Jones Jr. is hugging Tyson, he's done.
I don't know, man.
Stick and move, stick and move.
If he comes out with the Tyson, the bob and weave defense, Jones might be in some trouble because we haven't seen that defense since the late 80s.
And you said we haven't seen the bob and weave for like 30 years, 40 years.
Let's make sure we leverage Thrive Sports, and let's make sure we make some prop bets on this fight September 12th, right? We'll make sure we take advantage of that.
You got it.
Hey, we do on this fight. We also have a cool undercard here. We got a cool undercard. You guys know who Jake Paul is?
Unfortunately.
So Nate, by that translation, you just said Jake who is cool?
Jake Paul.
Jake Paul's cool.
Undercard. Yeah, but you know we got. Look, this is a great story. This is a great story. This is gonna be a great fight. Nate Robinson.
I don't know about Jake Paul. Tell me about Jake Paul. You know about Jake Paul, John?
He's an idiot YouTuber, right? I mean, he makes rap videos. He makes stupid videos.
Hold on.
He cuts his hair with a Flowbee.
He wants to be the Dr. Dre of social media.
Okay, but Justin Bieber also wanted to be an NBA player. We don't let that happen.
Okay, well, listen. You want to know Jake Paul, I'll tell you this, right? modest upbringing in Cleveland, Ohio. Built himself by an $11 million media empire, mainly through YouTube. The guy is... He does have a niche. Most people hate him. He's considered by some, I'll use air quotes, a douchebag. Problem star. Like a lot of these guys want to get their name and lights by doing whatever, causing mayhem. And a lot of young people that I talked about this segment is he's not liked and he's an asshole.
Okay, he's got to be liked if he has so many viewers.
He has a great following of young people that support him, buy his products. And I'll tell you this, he does take his sports, his boxing, his fighting pretty seriously.
Well, real quick, Paul, you mentioned Bieber wanting to be an NBA player. I lost all respect for Floyd Mayweather when Bieber came walking out with him for a fight one time. I saw, it's like, I can't. I mean, he had Bieber walking out, and he had Triple H right behind him. So you got a wrestler, and you got Justin Bieber walking out with you. What a bad look. Just a bad look.
Well, okay, go ahead. It's very funny you guys say that because Jake Paul's last fight, Justin Bieber was there to support him. it is kind of ironic, but the guy does know how to push and leverage social media. That's his job. He does a great job of it. But however, Nate Robinson, 3-time NBA slam dunk champion, had a pretty decent career in the NBA. Nothing stellar, but a great career. Won a lot of games. He also had a tryout in 2012 with the Seattle Seahawks. He was an elite high school football player. Played football at the University of Washington. And the guy's an athlete. Went up against Jordan. Battled with Kobe. Kobe probably scored 30 on him.
Wait, this guy played him one-on-one?
No. I'm just saying guarded him, right? So this is the fight we're going to see. We're going to see Jake Paul, an amateur.
Who's he fighting?
Nate Robinson.
Are you listening?
Basketball player?
Yes. Yeah. Paul's like, only in California. Only in Hollywood.
Oh, my God. Stuck on Jake Paul still.
Yeah.
He didn't even think about Nate Robinson.
I was thinking, did he play one-on-one with Nate Robinson? Nate Robinson, the basketball player, is fighting?
Yes, that's the fight.
Oh, my
that's
God. The undercard.
No, look, Paul's like, only in California can this happen. But this social media YouTuber is going to fight former NBA 3-time slam dunk champion Nate Robinson in the undercard.
How tall is Nate Robinson?
Huh?
How tall is Nate? Isn't he like this short?
Nate Robinson's 5'9". Jake Paul is 6'1".
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Are they even in the same weight class?
I don't care. Nate Robinson is going to run circles around him. Jake Paul's not going to be able to catch him. It's in Nate Robinson's genes. His father played professional football 1 year for the Eagles. This guy, he's going to come out there and perform. I'm hoping for a knockout of Jake Paul.
But Nate just said that Jake Paul was an athlete. He went through his resume.
No, he takes his fighting stuff serious. I don't know Nate Robinson's fighting history, right? Boxing's different than basketball. Boxing's different than football, right?
Jake Paul is a YouTube actor that acts like he knows how to fight.
Okay, but listen, what happens to Nate Robinson if Jake Paul beats him?
Well, he's going to have to go
home. Jake Paul knocks him out, he's going to have to move to Kazakhstan.
Pretty embarrassed. Pretty embarrassing.
Hey, so why is this even happening in the first place? Like, because nobody watches boxing anymore. Everybody watches UFC, right?
As far as I know, this is for charity.
Okay.
Right, but still, this is the most talked about boxing match since I don't remember when. I mean, you can't even take Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor.
But Paul, that goes to a different story. This is the most talked about because boxing is pretty much almost dead. At least the heavyweight
division. That's my point. Boxing is dead because of UFC. There's nobody boxing. When you watch a UFC bout and then you watch boxing, it's almost like guys are hugging and punching with pillows.
one thing that I like about this, in today's world, right, on social media, everyone's a tough guy, right? Everyone's challenging people. They can fight this guy. And I like it when they get called on. Okay, let's schedule something. You're a tough guy. Let's schedule something. I think it's cool. They put money where the mouth is. Entertain. People are going to tune in. This is going to be a big draw. It's going to be fun. That's what sports is about. It's about fun. It's about competition. But, you know, I hope Nate Robinson can handle his own. I hope he knocks this guy out. I think a lot of Americans will be happy to see Jake Paul knocked out. But should Nate Robinson lose, Kakistan, baby. You better just move to Kakistan.
I mean, whatever the fuck ever. I mean, look, Paul's last fight, he had 60 million views, right? So there's going to be people watching, and a lot more than regular heavyweight championship fights, apparently.
Well, you know the old Flavor Flav model, right? A lot of these guys have it. Just pay me, boy. Just pay me. These guys want to get paid. They're getting paid. A lot of it is for the show. They're going to get paid.
John, do you feel like punching me every time or fighting me in the ring every time I degrade a 49?
I do. I feel like flying to Florida, risking my life in the COVID epicenter of the world, and drowning you in that fucking pool behind you.
Okay, all right, we're going to set up a 3-round exhibition match for you guys in the boxing ring.
I'm ready.
Paul will be in black and gold. And John will be in scarlet and gold, man. It'll be good. All right, guys. Awesome call. Awesome show. Anything else you guys want to touch on before we wrap this thing up? Any final thoughts over there in Florida or California?
Well, I think that the NFL, everybody's reported to training camp. We've got a big week coming up. I'm excited to hear some NFL news. I'm excited to hear some football training camp stuff. So hopefully next week we'll have some tidbits on training camp and players, what they're doing actually on the football field instead of testing and opting out. And I'm ready to get football started.
Yeah, so am I. I really hope this list doesn't continue to grow. I really hope baseball can clean it up and show that they can travel the country and not get more infections. You know, Manfred's blaming the players for the infections going up. I don't know what's going on, but I just hope it stops. I hope it starts to slow down here. I want to see some football, man.
Did you guys – I'm looking forward to football, too. I'm looking forward to betting on sports, prop bets, fantasy football. I'm looking forward to – but I wonder, did you guys watch any basketball open this week? Did you guys watch any – I know you said you watched a little bit, Paul, or was
– No, I haven't watched any, no. I saw the articles, but, you know, I just think it's – I think we get – I go to sports for a release from society, from all the things that are going on in the world. And when we do that, when their NBA is doing what they're doing, it just really doesn't interest.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a couple of minutes of the game the other day. I'm a little, you know, I'm different than Paul. I don't mind him kneeling and all that stuff. Doesn't bother me. I know why they're doing it. But the actual game of basketball with cardboard cutouts in the stands, it's the same as baseball. I'm having a hard time. I can get into football. Nobody has to be there. I can get into football. They can play football on Mars. I'll get into it. But basketball and baseball without fans there, it's really hard for me to get into. I need that intensity because the players sure don't have it anymore.
Yeah, with football from camera angles, you don't really see much of the audience, right? You don't see much of the fans. But baseball, every pitch you see those dumb cutouts. Basketball with the side angle cameras, you see all this goofiness on TV. It is hard to stomach. But I did watch the Laker-Clipper game, and I was entertained. I'm glad we have live sports. I've been missing it, so it was good to see. And the seasons could be finished.
So, Nate, were you able to hear their voices and calling out plays and cursing? Can you hear that?
Well, they do have a lot of artificial noise coming in. But, yes, you can hear some F-bombs being dropped. You can hear some other things that you normally wouldn't hear. It kind of feels like you're kind of at the game just because how you can hear things a little bit different. that part was kind of cool, but just looking out and seeing like people making faces and posing.
Apparently you have people video chatting from the stands.
What are you talking about, faces and posing? What are you talking about?
Well, I think what the NBA does is it's not a cutout. It's like a video monitor of people like watching the game. Like we'd be on this show right now, we could see each other.
Uh-huh.
The fans could see the game from like a computer screen. And that's what's in the background. So people are making faces or posing. Oh. I think it might be a still frame, but it is.
That's lame. That's lame. Why do we have, I mean, come on. We all know where we're at. Just get rid of the cardboard cutouts. We know you're in a bubble.
Well, even that being said, change the camera angles, right? You could have different camera angles. Well, that's not being, you know, a little more zoom ins, like a less panoramic. So if the production companies do the job properly, that'd be less of less to take in for the viewer. And I think that'd be smart. But hopefully this will be the only season we got to do this.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, listen, have a great Saturday. Thanks for your time. Enjoy. It looks like a beautiful day in Florida. What's the weather? 81? Little breeze?
It's probably 89. Humidity's really high. Yes, a little breeze in the background. About to jump in the pool.
Well, that humidity keeps your skin looking good. Keeps you youthful. John, in Northern Cal, what's the temp?
It's about 98 where I'm at right now.
All right. Awesome. Awesome.
Not for me. I sweat in 80-degree weather. It's not cool.
Well, you better drop about 20 pounds if you're going to box Paul here in 3 months. If we're going to set that up, we got to make sure you guys are close to the same weight demographic. All right, guys. Johnny G, take it away.
Thanks, Nate. Okay, great show today, guys. That will just about wrap it up for this week's edition of Now on the Clock podcast. I want to remind everybody that you can follow us on Facebook at our Now on the Clock podcast page or visit our website at www.nowontheclock.com, where questions and comments are always encouraged. We want to send a special thank you to our newest partner, Thrive Fantasy Sports. You can check them out at www.thrivefantasy.com. Remember to use the promo code NOTC when you sign up today, and you will receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. For Nate, Pauly, myself, Johnny G, thank you for joining us, and we will see you again next week for another entertaining edition of Now on the Clock podcast, your number one sports fan podcast. Don't miss it!